Good morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 18th. Joining us this morning out of southern Humboldt and parts north, Estelle Fennell. Good morning, lady.
Good morning, Brian.
I could have said Shelter Cove, but then I'm not sure you could have gotten here on time.
Of course.
Road reference, that's all.
Yeah.
Road construction.
Oh, the road is doing really well right now, and thank you to everybody for making that happen.
Next. Our why do they say that this morning is ambition. So you're on the hot seat here. What did the word ambition originally mean?
Ambition. So, doesn't feel like it came from Latin. Ambition. Ambi is like ambidextrous. I don't know.
Literally, it means go-getting. The ancient Romans used the word ambitio to describe a candidate's going about for votes.
Oh.
Ambition.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
There you go.
I was really, I was looking forward to having the answer. I heard Maggie last week, and she got real close.
She got close.
She's alma mater. And yeah. I would have said... mother of the soul, because I thought Alma was the soul.
That's
but it was close enough.
Close, yeah, yeah. Speaking of close, what is this Sanctuary County thing all about?
Oh, dear.
We have sanctuary cities and states.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a redundancy if it's passed? Is it something that sets us apart? Is it something that ties the hands of elected officials in the county to be able to do things? Is it philosophical? What exactly is this thing?
Well, and the discussion at the board was pretty good on it last Tuesday. We were in a pretty difficult position, and in that we had three choices. One was to pass it and make it so. The other was to give it to the voters, and the third was to ask staff for a report, but that would have to come back in 30 days in order to meet the election results. Now, I know that's not a direct answer to your question, but it is,
you're getting there.
It is a prelude to saying that I am not alone on the board in having issues with this particular ordinance. And I think my main issue is that it does seem somewhat redundant, because we already have a state sanctuary, SB 54, and the county itself has passed a resolution in support of the sheriff's stance, which says, no, we're not going to go after people and do ICE's job for them. Yes, we are going to follow state law. And so in that regard, it seems that it's already been taken care of to a great degree. What's problematic about this, in my view, and I hope that people will pay attention to the finer details of this ordinance, is it's going to cost the money, a lot of the cost the county a lot of money, and it's also going to cost potential. We may even have to create positions just to administer this.
How is this going to do that if it passes?
Well, there are a lot of requirements, one of which, for instance, is that the sheriff's department and the probation department do twice yearly reports back to the Board of Supervisors with data on every instance that they've dealt with.
Every arrest?
I'm not 100% sure. I think anything having to do with...
illegals?
With an undocumented immigrant. And so it also says use of county funds prohibited. It makes a case, for instance, that that the county working with ICE, which the county doesn't do, it would be basically an unfunded mandate. I made the case that this actual ordinance is an unfunded mandate to the county, because the other thing that the county will have to do is the clerk of the board will have to inform every single department head that none of the county employees, that all of the county employees have a very prescriptive issues that they have to deal with in terms of dealing with people who are potentially in the country illegally. They can't give any information out. They can't take any information. They can't ask people about their status, etc.
Well, so, if you're an employee, don't you have to have a Social Security number?
No, but this is when they're dealing with the public. Or with anybody, I guess, now that you point that out.
Where did this thing come from?
Well, I'm not 100% sure. There have been a group. This is signed by Renee Saseda, is, I guess, the main proponent. And I think that the group that has been asking for the county to take a sanctuary stand may not have been happy with what we've done, but it's been our, you know, we feel very strongly that Humboldt County doesn't have an issue in terms of getting people in trouble, performing the work of ICE. We couldn't even if we wanted it, which we don't, because it's a state law now. So there's this semi-annual report. By no later than July 1st, 2019, the sheriff and juvenile probation officers shall each provide to the Board of Supervisors a written report stating the number of detentions that were solely based on civil immigration detainees, if any. There probably wouldn't be any during the first 6 months following. And then every year, the quote-unquote, thereafter, the sheriff and juvenile probation officers shall each submit a written report to the Board of Supervisors and the mayor by January 1st and July 1st of each year addressing several issues, a description of all communications received from the federal agency charged with enforcement of the federal immigration law. I mean, it goes on and on and on. There's a lot of requirements.
We'll have a spirited second segment here when we come back. It's 8:19.
Yeah.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this this morning with Estelle. Estelle, after you saw this for the first time,
mm-hmm.
I would have a tough time taking it seriously.
Well,
not because of the, I guess because it seems like it's another one of those pieces of, or document, if you will, pieces of I was going to say legislation, but it's not that. But a document that doesn't take into consideration a lot of the actual application, the details of it. Kind of like 215. Let's throw it out there, boom, okay. Now, it takes us 20 years, and we still didn't get it right.
Well, there was...
So all these additional costs, this additional reporting, these questions that you had... You have to, I guess, suppose what the answer would be, but you can't ask the questions, et cetera. It's like, who's going to do this? Who's going to pay for it? And to what end?
Yeah.
What is the benefit to the citizenry of this additional stuff?
Well, the benefit, exactly, it's an unfunded mandate. Again, we'll go back to that. It mandates so much that has not, nobody ever talked to the board, nobody ever talked to the county, nobody ever talked to the Human Rights Commission about how we could accomplish this. So basically, it we cannot alter it, which is why we just didn't feel comfortable.
And you said mayor.
The mayor,
is that
right.
Reporting to each of the cities?
Out. Yeah, no, it doesn't. I asked, since we can't alter it at all, I asked, since this is clearly not, does not apply to Humboldt County, must have come out of San Francisco or somewhere. Can we alter that? And I was advised by staff that, in fact, we could, because it could be seen as a typo. So they would remove the idea of mayor.
But there's no source of this?
Except a proponent.
Just somewhere it came from.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm. We don't know.
If it was a template, you don't know where you can go to see working or not.
No. And so the other thing that's a big requirement is the clerk of the Board of Supervisors has already got their plate really full, sending copies of the chapter to every department, agency, and commission of the county, every department, agency, and commission of the county of Humboldt, the United States Senators, California Congressional Delegates, the Commissioner of Federal Agency charged with enforcement of federal immigration law, the United States Attorney General, the Secretary of State, and the President of the United States. That's what
the president doesn't want a copy of Humboldt County's anything.
Each appointing officer of the County of Humboldt will inform all employees of his and her jurisdiction of the prohibitions, and on and on and on. Now,
you know what it sounds like to me?
It sounds to me
a lawyer is wanting to come in. I'm not ADA, mm-hmm. but wanting to come in and say, gotcha. And either we're going to sue you, or we want the county to pay us X number of dollars, and you'll get some gratis time. Well, I mean, it sounds like it's that, if it's at that narrow a level of something that is really not even a county issue. These are all state and federal issues.
Yeah. Well, and
going on here?
Well, it seems to me when I was thinking about it, and first of all, when I caught that item of supervisors and mayor, I went, okay, this came from a big city. You look at Humboldt County, at the Board of Supervisors, we have the clerk of the board and some deputy clerks of the board. They are busy from when they get in the office to when they leave, and it's an ongoing busy job. None of us have our own staff. None of us have secretaries. You go to somewhere like San Francisco, and they have a room full of staff and secretaries who have secretaries. And it seems to me this comes from an area where they would have the wherewithal to do this, all of this background work. The enforcement part of it goes to the Human Rights Commission. Now, Humboldt County is one of a very few counties in California that still has a Human Rights Commission, and now it makes the Human Rights Commission be in charge of reviewing the compliance of the county departments, agencies, commissions, and employees with the mandates of the ordinance in particular instances in which there's a question of noncompliance, and the Human Rights Commission has to be the enforcer. So what does that mean? That
means empowers this commission.
We would have to
supersede
staff
everybody else, and then you need the staffing on it, and
staffing,
it's a huge power.
Money, and they have to a written report with the commission's findings submitted to the Board of Supervisors within 60 days after the first.
This is a department.
This is the Human Rights Commission.
Who presented this one?
This is all part of the ordinance.
But who brought it to the board?
It was brought to us by the clerk of the county clerk and the elections person, Kelly Sanders, because they got enough signatures to put it on the ballot.
Well, so there was no formal contact?
No. No, it just came to, there was a petition.
I was wondering who the proposers are.
Well, Renee Cecita.
And the funding, where do they see the monies to make this happen? Where mm-hmm. do they come from?
But there is no.
If it's operating in a vacuum, then there's no connection.
There's no identification of where any funding or anything else in terms of enforcing this will come from, and I think that that's probably the part that's the most problematic for us. So what we've done is, we've said, okay, got the signatures, give it to the voters, but I think it's important for the voters to understand what this might mean. The pros and the cons in terms of how much it's going to cost and how many people we might have to employ to enforce it, etc., and weigh that against what it will accomplish, because in my view, much of what it tries to do has already been accomplished both at the state level and here locally with our resolution that we passed.
So why not just shoot it down and say, no, we've already, no.
You can't do that.
Because
people,
the signatures
because
were in play?
Because the signatures were in play.
Okay. Well, It'll be for an interesting fall, if nothing else.
Yeah,
and this is in the fall ballot, right?
This will be in November. Fall. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so one of the things. Oh, great.
Actually, five of the things, and okay. Now it's four of the things.
Okay.
Just three things. Okay. It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We are back. Talking Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Egg Credit, and Lolita Cheese. Estelle, is this proposed ordinance, is that what it would be?
Mm-hmm.
That the county is looking at as far as a sanctuary county. When it happens at the state, we say, wow, this is what happens when you don't get state officials in place that are willing to take the bull by the horn, accept risk, and do what they're supposed to do. With this one, at the county level, similar arguments, or is this something else going on here?
Well, you know, the bottom line here is that, as part of our system of government, if the citizens can get enough signatures, whether or not they know, what they want. And just remember, sometimes people sign petitions just to have the issue before the voters. And that's actually something I've done in the past. I may or may not agree with an issue, but if it's an issue that should go before the voters, I'll sign it. So we don't know if every person who signed it agrees with the petition.
Or read it.
But what we do know is that enough people signed the petition for it to get on the ballot.
How many were?
I think that it was required something along the lines of in the neighborhood of 3,000 something, and they got in 4,000. They got 4,000.
So about 2.5%.
I think it's maybe 3% of the last one. There's an actual code.
Now, is that of the population, or is that of registered voters, or is that of those who voted?
Well, you have to be a resident of those who voted. And I think you may have to be a resident. I don't know with a petition. Okay. Yeah, you would have to be
so
a registered voter.
So we're talking hundreds, yeah. High hundreds, yeah. Maybe.
So there's a lot in here that I can't go into in this, but there's a lot of prohibitions that are already basically in place because of the stand that we've taken. There are some extra that would probably tie the sheriff's hands with regard to some issues that they deal with ICE. And the other thing is there is one component in here that deals with children of deported parents, which is a little bit different from anything we've touched on. And everybody understands.
And again, it's a federal issue.
And it will have to be resolved. And I think it's.
So does this thing.
This will have no effect
on
the federal government.
Go on the ballot as is?
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Or can it be.
No, it cannot be changed.
And in the voters' pamphlets that you get, the information pamphlets, will there be any pointing out some of these things that not applicable, cannot be? Because if they're talking about a bunch of things that the county doesn't have jurisdiction in, but somebody votes on it thinking that that's going to actually be the case, now they're being misinformed.
Well, that's the whole that's what happens a lot with voter initiatives. We've seen it on many of them, where you have the what they call the law of unintended consequences. What if, for instance, ICE says, okay, Humboldt County doesn't want, you know, Humboldt County is taking this very strong stand. I guess we're just going to have to go there. And, you know, what if that happens? What if you see a reaction in that regard? I don't know. The bottom line is right now we have a sheriff who is very sympathetic to the plight of people who are victims and who might be of uncertain status. And they will not, you know, they want people to feel comfortable coming into to the sheriff or the county or whatever. I get a little bit concerned about what goes into play as this moves forward. But the most important thing from a perspective of county is how we implement it. And I've said before, if the voters pass it, we'll have to find a way. How do we do that? Where do we take the money from? It can't obviously be from any federal funds. So it's going to have to be local funds. And how do we do that? And what do we take it from?
Being the intrepid journalist that you still have the genetic code for, what's the end game on this thing? When you look at it, not as an elected, mm-hmm. but as somebody who has an inquisitive mind and a healthy dose of, huh?
Yeah.
What do you get out of this thing? What do you see? What's going on? What's the end game?
Well, it's something that kind of goes, again, it's okay, a mixture of being in my current position and also as a journalist. I am a little concerned about bringing national affairs down to the nuts and bolts of local government. It has a political component to it, in my view, and what we really need to be doing is making sure that Humboldt County thrives and survives. We've got enough challenges as it is, and so I have a bit of concern about that. As far as what the end game is, that's what I think. I think there's a certain degree of politics involved here. I think what I would like to say to anybody who's concerned about the welfare of people, I feel very confident that the sheriff, in what the sheriff has said and his policies, and honestly, the if you look at the studies that are quoted in the preamble to this ordinance, none of them fit Humboldt County. None of the issues that are looked at fit Humboldt County. So I just don't know that it's necessary to have this here up in this rural county in Northern California.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time, 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle. All right, fine.
Well, so, you know, bottom line.
Yeah.
Bottom line, Brian, it's fine to be concerned about people who can be victims, etc. But to my mind, we've already taken care of a lot of that here. And the big question now to ask is what does this do that hasn't been done already, and why is it so necessary? And I think people should ask questions, and I hope that one of the things we did do is we tasked staff to come back with us by the end of August with a breakdown of the costs, the potential costs, and also the potential...
Well, that's got to be in the voters' pamphlet, doesn't it? Don't they always say... estimated.
Yeah, and I think in the voters' pamphlet, you're going to get a potential pro and con if somebody comes up with an argument against it. But you definitely will have an analysis from county council. So that will be important as well.
It just...
Well, we'll have a very interesting election in November.
I suppose it seems like all the posturing. You know, and I think everybody wants people to be treated fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, we may argue what fair means,
but
we want people to be treated fair.
Yeah.
But the posturing, you know, may as well call it a nuclear free zone, too. I mean, who cares? You know, with that one. But a lot of political posturing, you know, for what purpose? There's always a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some are more transparent than others. I'm not sure if this is one of the more transparent or one of the others. Mm-hmm. But it just is baffling, I guess. Why is this playing out? I mean, it would be the same thing as going to a city, as going to the county. No, this is Sacramento.
Yeah.
This is really the federal level.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if push came to shove, don't you swear on the Bible that you're going to uphold the Constitution?
The Constitution of the United States of America.
Bingo.
And now the Constitution of the State of California.
Okay, so that's already been addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And all the electeds are there. And I'm sure when the appointeds, you know, when you swear in the librarian, they probably have to do the same oath, right?
Well, I know the sheriff does. And
these things are already in place. Now, if it's not being done, now there's remedies.
Right.
But why put another layer on top of, and, you know, we talk about wanting to make government smaller. This just feels like it's going to be a job creation in the government sector at the cost of services that the general public is currently receiving.
Well, right. I mean, that's one of the main things that we have to think about, because the source of this funding, it could threaten federal funding to a lot of important programs we have in place,
and some of the matching stuff.
Yeah. So to be fair, in the ordinance, it does say that if it does threaten, there's some wording in there to kind of make it severable, as you do in a lot of these kinds of things. You make them severable in case they have an effect. But the bottom line is that still could mean, you know, months of the withdrawn federal funds for this program or that program or the other.
And legal costs to defend.
And legal costs to defend and prosecute, et cetera. So there's it's just the law. Again, I go back to it. I understand when people are, and people can be very concerned, especially when we see some of the things happening at a national level. They can have their concerns raised. I understand that. I really do get it. But you have to look at the law of unintended consequences as well, in terms of what that brings when we've already taken so many steps here in Humboldt County to make people feel comfortable to come in and interact with any one of our county agencies. And there have been no egregious issues at all that need to be addressed in my recollection.
See, we did a whole show and didn't talk about ADA. Congratulations.
Oh, my gosh.
See everybody tomorrow.